It is time for No Slugs. It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And in the center studio, here they are. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
He's speaking.
Well, it's like when the kids go off to camp. We have no kids here today, and it feels kind of great. It's so free.
Well, we're going to bring in one kid because she's going to be a kid this weekend, Janet
here
Manko.
Here she is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, always a kid at heart, but... it's the big rig this weekend for Hoosier Child Care Center. It looks like the weather will cooperate. I'm no longer on that board, just so you know, but James Clark at the Lakeville Journal is, and many other fine people, so it'll be a great day.
All right. Well, with that being said, speaking about great day, let's go right to the front page. And, I see the father of someone who used to be an intern right on the front page, Thad Gray. His son was an intern for one summer here.
Austin
was here for one summer.
He probably graduated college by now.
He's probably on his third job.
I will tell you fast is that I saw in a gossip column yesterday a kid who I would have lunch when he was in his stroller drooling. That's just why are you dating this person?
Well, anyways, there's a Thaddeus Gray.
Yes, and I have to say, sometimes the putting together of the front page happens in a sort of a, you know, we like to think about it a lot, but sometimes things get moved around. So that's a very big story. So don't send me letters about it, but I acknowledge that's a very big story. But it's a big deal, which is Thad Gray, who grew up in Warren and lived in Sharon for many years and now lives in Salisbury, is one of the only people that, like, we could think of really from one of our towns who's running for statewide office. So he's now the party endorsed candidate for the Republicans for state treasurer. It's possible that he could still face a petitioning challenger, but it's still kind of cool.
All right. Now, hey, the road work in Lakeville.
That's the big story.
But it looks like it's done when I went through there this morning.
Well, it's, you know why? I think that what happens is they don't work when it's damp out like it is today. But they did a lot yesterday, and the road feels nice and smooth. I'm sure they need to do some finishing up, but I think all of us had PTSD when those trucks started lining up all over the road. We thought, oh, it's going to be another summer, but it really is just a few days worth of work.
I didn't because, you know what? For them to get paid for the whole job, they had to finish this job, and so I knew that they would expedite
it. Yeah. But you know what's interesting, too, is because now that we live in Falls Village, a lot of those trucks were zipping at high speed back and forth between North Canaan and Salisbury because I think they got a lot of their asphalt materials, their road work materials from Canaan, which is kind of good.
All right, so that's a story that's right by Thad's head, but then we go by to his legs.
His well-shod loafered feet.
Fighting for students' right to speak out by Shaw.
You know, for some reason, this has been like the summer of the 60s here in the northwest corner, and so when I went out with Matt Holderman, one of our interns, the first day that we were out talking to people, Vietnam kept coming up again and again, and he sort of walked away going like, wow, it all began with Vietnam. Like, so many of these people's lives are impacted by Vietnam. And so Mary Beth Tinker was speaking in Winsted to students at Regional about the 60s and about activism. And I think that it's an interesting moment. And, of course, this is a very activist moment, I think, for a lot of people our age here in the Northwest Corner. And trying to teach young people about speaking up and about activism, and that's all important.
You know, you bring that up with the 50th anniversary of the death of Robert Kennedy. It just brought back all that to me, even though I was only a sophomore going to be a junior in high school.
It
prompted me to join the peace protests on the Sharon Green. It was an event that totally changed my life forever.
Right.
Yeah. So hopefully that's happening for more students now.
Yeah.
The Laurel Festival in Winsted.
This is very exciting for the Lakeville Journal. It's our first year covering the Laurel Festival, and like, wow, it's great. And there's a woman in Winsted named Laura Green Kozlowskis, and she's been the greatest, most upbeat supporter of the Winsted Laurel Festival, and especially of the selecting of the King and the Queen. And she's organized for this weekend, which is coming up 8th, 9th, 10th. Many of the former Laurel Queens are going to be there. And sharing some of their memories of how speaking of it changed their lives. It dramatically and significantly changed their lives because these were all, you know, young ladies who grew up in Winsted, who were good students, who also, when you look at the photos, were poised and beautiful and wonderfully dressed and got these scholarships that, but also didn't just get these scholarships that helped change their lives educationally, but worked closely with the sponsors, their sponsors as Laurel candidates. And for many of them, it ended up setting the career path that they followed for the rest of their lives.
All right, we go down to Nature's Notebook, Hard Choices and the Firefly.
Tim Abbott has this nice way of sort of starting off very lyrically and ending up very in a sort of an action-oriented way. And this is one of those columns. It's very worth reading all the way to the end. And it's the time of year when he talks about fireflies. And I've been really enjoying the sound of crickets out in my yard all this week. And, of course, I loved when the peepers were out. But the fireflies is, for Tim, it's really the big harbinger of summer. And although people keep saying, wow, the summer is great, it's still spring. But the fireflies are out, and I'm looking forward to seeing them in my yard.
Well, it's funny, knowing Margaret Roach now, and Margaret Roach has done several stories on fireflies. And as a kid, we always used to catch them and release them. We used to have firefly parties at night at my house. We'd invite, there'd be 30 kids running around with jars with holes in them.
Yeah.
And you catch fireflies, and then you let them go.
Poor fireflies. And my mother used to always say fireflies like it when it's a little damp, so this should be a good spring for them. But also, I remember when William F. Buckley Jr., there was a wonderful fundraiser for the Sharon, Hotchkiss Library of Sharon at Great Elm, and he, in his way of speaking, he talked about how he was the oldest of the youngest kids in that large family, and he would sit up in their special room for the youngest kids and talk about the fireflies, the catching of the fireflies.
I can imagine I'm talking anyway. All right, that's a very good invitation, by the way.
Thank you. Really? It made an impression on me.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah. All right, let's go to a story about a new ad rep.
That's Janet. Right. Yeah, we have Bonnie Data back with us. She sold advertising with the Lakeville Journal Company back in the early 2000s, and you know, we keep in touch with. We often have people leave and then return at the Lakeville Journal. It's so funny. I was one who did that, many others too, and we're happy to have her back. She's a lady who understands the economy of this region very well, knows a lot of people, cares about our publications and our businesses and organizations who need to promote themselves in them. So we're happy to have her with us. When you see her, say hello.
All right, on page A3, nice story about the New Yorker going to go on at the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon.
So Adam Van Doren is one of the New York City Cornwall Van Dorens of fame in so many famous ways. And Lila Hawken, who I would say is pretty much of a seasoned campaigner, it's hard to impress her, and she's quite dry and funny. She just adored meeting Adam Van Doren and had the best time interviewing him, and I had to cut all of these superlatives out of her article because she just can't wait for this documentary film, which is going to be aired at the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon this Sunday at 4 p.m., and she makes it sound like this film that Adam Van Doren made about the early days of The New Yorker is going to be the greatest documentary film ever. So I think I'm going to try and go, and if you want to find out why, you should go read her article.
All right. I was here for the Hoosie Geo Challenge team.
Yeah.
First in the state.
Which is a big deal. And it's not just the Geo Challenge because we all think of the elementary school and the GOB, but it's a larger challenge that includes the Quiz Bowl. And a lot of the, local schools have very active Quiz Bowl teams. And Peter Vermillier, who is the academic bowl coach, wrote up a little article for us about it.
All right, we continue on a walking tour of the history of Winsted.
Yeah, so Trails Day was last weekend, and in Connecticut, and I believe also in New York, there's a story in the Millerton News about it. And it's mostly, you're outdoors and you're hiking and in this chilly, buggy weather, which is so great, of course. And but there are also an urban walk in Winsted, and a guy who is a member of the Economic Development Commission took people through. And, Winsted, when you look at it up close and you're not just driving through it, it's really interesting. There are all these old mills and factories, and it's a moment of change in the town, too. As you'll see, there's the Henny Penny opening, which is like a weirdly big deal in Winsted. But also the Rite Aid is closing. And also the Sears, which is the Ledgebrook Plaza, is about to close. And it's interesting for us here in our six little towns where we can't get any chains to come because we don't have the population to support it. Winsted, which did have the population to support it, is now losing some of those chains. So it'll be interesting to see how the economics of that town change as more and more artists move in and sort of really support the conversion of those old industrial buildings.
All right, we got a nice story about the Holly Block becoming affordable housing.
That's right.
You know, what's interesting, when I watched the meeting, that Salisbury only has 2% affordable housing, and the state really wants you to have about 20%.
Yeah, 60. So, all of our towns are a little under.
A little.
Except for Kent, and you'll see, this is one of the stories, actually, at the last minute, it ended up on the jump page, but it really is a big deal in Kent. The Affordable Housing Commission opened some additional residences, quite a few of them, And you can read about that on what we call our jump page. But doing it in a beautiful way on a historic former farm. But Holly Block, again, over in sort of the historic district of Lakeville and looking for ways to add in some new residences there.
And there used to be a big building on that site.
Right.
Many, many years ago, like a three-story building.
Which is now a parking lot, yeah.
Yeah, but so they've got a lot of good ideas for that. The science fair at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
That's right. Matt Holderman, who came back this year and is still recently enough at Housatonic Valley Regional High School that he was a judge for the FFA Open House, and he walked through the science fair and talked about some of the projects the kids were doing.
All right, Lee H. Kellogg students favor a small school.
People at Lee Kellogg were super, super excited about this meeting, which was a community partnership, and they invited about five students back to talk about not just like, you know, we really liked having a small school, but to talk about like, wow, you know, as a college student and as a high school student, I was really able to interact with my teachers and with other students in a very different way because I was lucky enough to grow up in this very nurturing, very accessible environment. And of course, historically, there's a higher percentage of valedictorians and salutatorians at Housatonic Valley Regional High School who are LHK graduates. There's something about a small school. Maybe not quite as small as it's getting, but, you know, a small school is a good thing.
And the seniors play a farewell song?
That's right. The spring concert, which had many of the seniors, as well, of course, as students in other grades, making beautiful music. Nice article by Matt.
Lots of obituaries.
Most of them came in on Tuesday morning. Sorry.
Yeah. And the saddest one is Grayson Gregory.
Right.
Who needed a kidney transplant. It never happened. And
died at 2.5 years. Very rare kidney disease. The nephew of our ad sales representative, Mary Wilbur.
Yeah. All right. And in sports, I like that the small fry at North Canaan Elementary School take a plunge in the river.
And actually, it was Patrick Sullivan who took the plunge in the river. And in his special nylon pants, which he describes, and so North Canaan Elementary School had called and they said, we raised some brown trout fry, which is the babies, and we're going to release them into the river. And so, of course, we sent our trout correspondent there, even though he's not normally in North Canaan. And you can see Chris Sorrell, resident state trooper for Salisbury, was there. His wife Denise was the one who's teaching the class. And Patrick describes in his amusing Patrick way the release of the small fry.
And last Saturday in Sharon, to raise money to finish the walking track, they had a big day of kickball, parties, music.
If you don't live in Sharon, I don't think you completely realize how important Veterans Field is to the functioning of life. And I think that we think of the town green as always being the center of town, but in Sharon, it really is Veterans Field. And people really use that walking track. And so they're improving it. They're expanding it. They built some new bathrooms there. Met Meddy, the head of Parks and Rec, has really been doing sort of quietly a very good job of getting a lot of stuff done and having these fundraisers to help to fund it so that there's not a lot of burden on the taxpayers. So if you see Met Meddy, give him a check.
I tell you right now, you can go within 50 miles. I'm not lying. And the facility that Sharon has in the valley with a full major league-sized field, which is fenced in,
a
walking track, a running track.
Tennis courts, pond.
Full soccer field, and also a full Little League field is absolutely stunning.
Right, and people really spend time there. If you drive by in a summer day, it's always packed with people.
And it's meticulously maintained. Yeah. Really great job by the town of Sharon. All right, on the opinion page, hey, nice little editorial on your summer interns.
That's right. This is a great time of year for us. You know, this week we don't have interns at the radio station, but most weeks in the summer we do, and it is just great that they get the experience they can between reporting for our publications and having the really nice opportunity to come over and be a part of the radio show, too, with Robin Hood Radio. So thank you for allowing them, and thank you to our communities for welcoming them. You know, they're learning, and they learn a lot, not just about, academic things, writing, figuring out what's important in their communities. They learn about their communities in a whole different way when, you know, they may have grown up here, but they see a different side of them when they become interns for their newspaper. So we're really happy to have them. Give it a read. And when they call you for an interview or you see them around town, please do be welcoming to them.
Lots and lots and lots of letters, actually.
Yeah, quite a few for this.
Time of year, there's a lot of it. Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's June time, you know, but a little bit of everything. Sharon Hospital is great resource for the region, says Sal Licardo. And we have from Stuart Horowitz that a performance of The Grumbling Griffin should have been in the paper, and another letter talking about that performance. Thank you to Brian Oler from Janet Lynn and Andy Osif down in Kent, thanking everybody for all their help with their Memorial Day, which is always so moving.
And on your Viewpoint page, Carol Asher, and also you go from Carol Asher to the NRA to North Korea.
That's right.
It's very wide-ranging, and it's commendable.
It is. It's wide-ranging, and, you know, these are folks we're lucky to have writing for us because they know about these things, and we all worry about them and think about them, and Carol's column especially is very timely this week as the decision on the Baker in Colorado came down from the Supreme Court, so do give all of them a read. We also have Mike Duca on Jetpack.
So funny. Now,
if anybody's never met Mike Duca, it's worth I've got some audio tapes. He's a very, 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 very funny man.
Very quick, yeah.
He is. And so, yeah, it's a great read. After thinking about all of our world's problems, read Mike.
All right.
Think harder.
On page 810, once again, you've got the
Kent Affordable Housing, Jenny Bush Sutman, amazing what she's managed to do. And we've got a health page with Molly Ayudi, who actually is still with us. She just wasn't with us yesterday or this morning, but she'll be in Kent with me this afternoon. She's got a twin. We specialize in twins and triplets at the Lakeville Journal. And she wrote about protein shakes, which she and her sister both drink. Her sister is a track star and a biology major and has done a lot of research on these supplements, and a very interesting story on not only which ones are best for you, but how to make them taste good. New orthodontist in Sharon joining Dr. Lovell. They're going to work together for a while, and then Dr. Lovell's planning to retire at some point. He's had a good long career here. I think we all owe a lot to him. And I think that's it for me.
Well, on the back page, right before we get to the back page, because we went through a challenge grant, I want to plug this. The Canaan Child Care Center has been offered a matching challenge grant of $5,000.
Yes.
And we just passed that along, that it's one of those times where you can literally turn $5,000 into $10,000.
With a little bit of help. If everybody just gives a little bit.
It's matching grants are truly a blessing for nonprofits. You can raise a lot of money very, 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 very quickly. Now, Ann's here early, and we've got a full compass, its own section today. So we have 5 minutes for you today.
Maybe we should talk about astrology, Jill.
Sure, what do you want to talk about?
That'll be in next week.
Right. So this week, you know, there's a gallery in Sharon that opened about a year ago called Standard Space, and I think what this guy Theo Colomb did for that building was fantastic.
Amazing. Yep.
It's a beautiful building. It's a wonderful place to have a show, and he's got a show that opened on Sunday of paintings by Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan is a freelance stylist and set designer and has worked for J. Crew for over 20 years doing styling for their catalogs and so on, but she's always been a painter, and she had a one-person show at Bergdorf Goodman last year, and this is her second big show, and it's all paintings of flowers painted on board. And what I love about her, because I just started thinking about, there are an awful lot of women who paint flowers, and they can be boring or they can be exciting, and hers are exciting because she uses a lot of neon paint. So she'll have sort of a traditional abstract painting of a flower, but it's done in like a bright, bright orange that you see men wearing on the road who are doing road work, or a neon green. So they're quite beautiful. You should go and look at them. And they're all different sizes, and the price range is really varied. So there's sort of something for everybody there. Then we have Simon Winchester, who is, I think of him as local. I think he
is local, yeah.
Yeah,
he's local.
Yeah. He lived, what, in Standisfield?
Yeah, right. just across, just over the line.
Right. Well, he's written a new book, which is basically the history of
Precision Engineering.
Yes, thank you. Cynthia's read the book.
I'm reading it. I love it.
And what's so cool about the way that he writes is when you take a topic like that and you go, oh.
I know.
And in fact, it's not like that at all. It's just absolutely, anyone who's just going,
it's
oh,
riveting.
Get it.
Okay. Right. I agree with you, Jill. It's when I hear anything that has to do with engineering, I just sort of, my eyes glaze over. And I think, oh, I'll give it to a reviewer that understands.
Exactly. And the great thing about reading him is that you just have fun.
So human.
Well, in any case, the reviewer says it's good entertainment and a provocative reordering of the relevant past. It's the story of how we arrived at our present ability to imprint billions, literally billions of transistors onto a single chip. And he goes through the history of it, and it sounds like, A, read the review, and that will entice you to read the book.
It's about being OCD and why it's great.
We also have a show at the Hunt Library of a local painter, Sally Ketchum, who I think lives down in Kent or Warren, one of those towns. And these are beautiful, bright, bright colored acrylic abstracts. And she's also got monoprints there. And Leon Graham reviewed it. He loved the show. So I think everybody should go and see the show. We have a story about the Undermountain Golf Course, which our fearless editor, Cynthia Hochschwender, visited this weekend, past weekend. And everybody I know says it's one of the nicest golf courses on the planet. It's small, it's approachable, you don't have to be a pro to play it. And this is just a little history of the golf course and a discussion of its...
When I was first learning to play golf, I almost Janice France and her husband owned the Falls Village Inn at the time. I almost killed her because she was golfing with me. We were both amateurs. And I one went off to my golf club, I mean, do right, and hit her right in the side of the head.
Wow.
Well, no, it's a good thing I was not a good golfer, so it wasn't a hard shot. But, but still, she stayed her distance from me the rest of the day. Many of us.
Quite understandable.
Move on in.
The golf course sounds great. Check it out. Read the story. And then we have a story about from our gardening correspondent, about the joys of planting from seed rather than buying all those little prepackaged plants and sticking them in the ground. It's kind of a thrill if you just scatter some seeds and then a few months later you've got a field of flowers. And she just talks about the history of flowers that came from seeds that you don't really see that much anymore.
And then corn.
Corn, and this was... actually, I had a space to fill, and when we had this story, but I would have run it a little later in the season. But then we all talked about it. There's really good early corn.
Corn's out already. Yeah, it's been out for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not from Connecticut. It's not the fabulous local corn, but it's from Virginia, or South Carolina, someplace south of here, and it's delicious. We had it the other night, so. I feel that the minute there's real corn available, we should start eating it until the day that there's no more.
I still have some frozen corn in those packets in my. I freeze it just so I can get through
that.
The winter. So I can get through the winter. Yeah,
we do that too. But somehow it's not the same as eating it on the ear.
No,
that is true.
Do you think you could freeze it on the ear?
Yes, you can. Absolutely, you can.
If you have a big freezer, we don't have.
That's
a
right.
No, you don't need a big freezer. You just take a Ziploc. I'm dead serious about this. Take a Ziploc bag. Throw the ears. You've got to shuck them. Throw them in. That's
right.
It. Pull them out. 6 months later.
Forget the Ziploc. Get one of those pressure bags like
no,
I.
No.
Well, somebody said the best way to do it is to just put it in a Ziploc, leave a little space, and then suck the air out
of
it.
Yep, that works too.
With a straw.
Because then you need a straw. You just roll it.
Oh, yeah, I do that, but then you don't get all the air. And that's really all I have for Compass, so we can talk about astrology.
Well,
we've also got a show in the calendar. There's a, I'm featuring the show by Joe Meehan, which is opening on June 9th at the Academy Building on Main Street in Salisbury. There's a reception from 5 to 7, And it's Joe went and photographed all of the land that belongs to the Salisbury Association Land Trust. And they're beautiful, beautiful Joe-mean pictures. Mm-hmm. He does so much for the town. He really is a beautiful photographer. He's extremely knowledgeable, and he volunteers to do all these things for the town. So I think we should all go and see it.
All right. And you, see, we gave you that full five, and you filled it all.
You did it. Well done.
Thanks.
When's your birthday?
August 13th. Don't you forget it.
Never forgets.
That is this week's edition of the Lakeville Journal. Thank you guys for coming in again.
Thank you. Spoken like a true Leo.
Thank you, Janet. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. And you can, of course, find them on the web, tricornernews.com, and also on Facebook.